Live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
This is the Summoner from the movie Brutal Realty Incorporated. I think I should tell you. That's right, I'm giving you the right to rock! Hail Satan!
Now, without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, their doctors are licensed mechanics. It's Genghis and Ragman.
This is London May from Brutal Realty Incorporated, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up!
Guys, you got Ragman, mano y mano, with a demon of sorts, the Summoner, or a.k.a. London May, from Brutal Realty, Inc., the movie. London, Mr. Summoner, welcome.
Good day to you, sir. Hey, Ragman, it's good to talk to you. I'm possessed by the Summoner, so hope you can handle that, me going back and forth.
We're good with that, man. We're good with that. All things go on the right to rock. No, we're good with it, man. Hey, for you guys not aware, there's a brand new short film called Brutal Realty, Inc. that we're going to talk about today with London, who plays the Summoner. And dude, what a killer fucking movie. Basically, I guess I'll let you explain kind of the premise and what the movie's about.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to talk about that. The Brutal Realty is a short black metal comedy horror film about a black metal demon who works a 9-to-5 job in hell playing black metal music, and like every other working class guy, he gets bored of his job and he dreams of greener pastures, and he wants to follow his dreams of coming to Earth to be a real estate agent. And so the movie follows him as he lands here on Earth and tries his hand or claw at selling real estate, and he comes into conflict with a real estate gang, the competing real estate gang, who try to force him out of business, and a lot of carnage ensues as the summoner has to stand up for himself and fight back against oppression.
It's an awesome concept and a lot of fun, man. I think one of the first real funny parts for me is when the summoner's in his car going back and forth to work, and he's like changing stations. Oh, okay, do I hear this? Do I hear the black metal? Or do I hear like German Oompa music? And that's what he settles on. That was awesome, man.
Well, I think anybody who works in like a candy store, eventually they get tired of candy, you know? You think, this is the best job I've ever had. I'm doing what I love. And then you're like, you know what? Anything repetitive, becomes mundane and kind of sour after a while. And so you kind of, you flip into something completely different from what you're stuck with day to day. And that's his taste of music seemed to, you know, in his off time is much different than what he listens to at work and plays at work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how did you get involved with this, London? It's a cool thing, and I wanted to mention that there's a couple movies, and it's kind of interesting how black metal has passed over into like a comedy horror type thing with movies like Deathgasm. I don't know if you saw Heavy Trip. I think it was a...
Oh, Heavy Trip is a huge influence on us.
Oh, nice. And then...
And I'm glad you've seen that movie, because I think that movie is terrific. And we're actually one of the big fans and supporters of Brutal Realty is the director of Heavy Trip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so when we were making our movie, when we were making Brutal Realty, sometimes I'd come home at night and I'd say, what are we doing? This, nobody's going to like this. This is so weird. And the only people that were, you know, that we're entertaining is ourselves. And that's not a big audience. That's like three of us. And then we went to see the premiere of Heavy Trip here in L.A., and the theater was packed, and everybody was loving it, and they were laughing so hard, and they really got it, and it was such a touching, you know, rocking film that I realized that, hey, maybe we're not so weird. Maybe we'll have an audience, too. And so that really was an encouraging thing for us. And also Lords of Chaos was very encouraging.
Oh, yeah.
To us, because we thought that there was a story to be told, and there was an audience for this kind of movie. Whether it's funny or whether it's serious, black metal has its fans, and the people that are open-minded about it really appreciate, you know, when things are you know, if there's a different take on it, you know, some people are open to that, and that's what we're hoping for with Brutal Realty.
Yeah, and I think if it's good, it's good. I showed my wife and I watched Lords of Chaos together, and I told her, she hates black metal, she's against this Satanism stuff, and I said, you know, believe it or not, a lot of the Satanism with these bands is shtick. Some of these guys really take it to the next level, like in this Lords of Chaos, you're gonna see guys that are really, you know, engulfed in this stuff, but there's bands out there that just use it for imagery. So if you can get past that, mm-hmm. you'll probably enjoy this thing. And she loved it. She thought it was a great movie.
I really was you know, I came in skeptical and left a believer as well, you know. And you know, and I get that. And I think people on the superficial side may look at Brutal Realty the same way and think, oh, that's a cheap shot. That's just cashing in on the black metal craze. And, you know, our hope is that people dig a little deeper, you know, and they see that, you know, my background is in extreme metal and occultism and black metal, and that the message of the movie is, though it's a comedic movie in certain ways, it's also, you know, a very strong message about individuality, you know, and standing up for yourself and being brave and not taking any shit and empowering the marginalized freaks out there. You know, this movie is made by freaks for freaks.
There you go. Well, I got to tell you, the only disappointing thing about your film is it was too short. I wanted more. So,
well, we were so happy to tell you that we have a Brutal Realty film in development right now. So we're gonna expand on that whole concept for a full length movie, and hopefully we'll be shooting that this winter.
Oh, that would be
so
nice.
There will be more. Definitely, the Summoner is coming back. The response has been really fantastic, and we had hoped that this would catch on, and we're excited to say it has really connected with people, and it's connected with a movie studio and a producer and some great actors. You are going to die. You're going to freak out when you hear who is going to be starring in the film.
Well, you want to hear something funny. And when I, you know, first take of the movie, and when you meet the main realty guy that's the king of L.A., he looks like the guy from the Hobbit movies. His name escapes me. You know who I'm talking about?
The little golem guy.
Yeah, I think it was Bilbo Baggins. I forget. But he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in a really cool show called Wilfred that was on FX. But I forgot his name, but I thought it was him for a second. I did a double take. It's like, okay, that's not him. But it was pretty funny to me. I kind of laughed to myself. I meant to look his name up before we started chatting. But
we got, you know, Ragman, we got so lucky with our casting. We spent a lot of time auditioning people. And even though it's a short film and there's not much money involved, we were really specific about who we wanted for every role. And Chadley, who's the character that you're talking about, really needed to have a certain smarminess and an arrogance and some evilness to him.
Yeah.
Because it's the twist is that the Summoner, the black metal demon, is not the he's not the villain.
Yeah, he's not the aggressor at all.
No, I don't want to give a let's make sure not to give away too much.
right.
Of the movie. But yeah, the you know, the corporate guy is the real evil in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
As in life, most usually.
Yeah, exactly, man. I want to say
most evil wears a three-piece suit.
True. Well, I liked that the special effects. It was all real stuff. It wasn't CG, and I love that.
Well, I'm happy to say that we went to a lot of trouble to use practical effects, and we had a huge disaster here filming some of those effects, and I was so bummed out because we ruined a big part of my house.
Oh no, really?
Filming that battle scene, and it all works out because at the end of the day, we won Best Kill at the Cinepocalypse Film Festival in Chicago, and it made it all worthwhile.
Oh, that's...
You know, if you're going to do something and you're going to go for it and it fucks up, you hope that you get it on camera, and then you hope that somebody appreciates it, and those two things happen. And even though it fucked my house up, we really were, it really made it all worthwhile to win an award for that. And thank you for for mentioning that, because that's not easy. It's totally messy, and it's very, certainly on low budgets, you roll the dice every time that you hit that switch and squirt that stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. And that's the thing I think that a lot of horror movies are suffering from now is these digitized effects. They just don't look real anymore in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's, if they have a huge budget and they can make it work, it works. But a lot of the time, it's like, man, come on, just get some fake blood. But it sounds like that's pretty pricey as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only pricey, it's just that if you do it and it doesn't work, everything has to stop. You know, if somebody gets shot and the blood squib, you know, that's in the guy's clothes, it doesn't work or it fucks up, you have to change the costume, you have to clean up everything, you have to reset everything, and it can take an hour, you know, to redo one quick blood squib scene. Whereas if it's an effects and the guy just drops and you add the bullet and the blood in later, you know, you can shoot a lot quicker.
Yeah.
But you're right. It looks like a video game. It looks lame.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes it's cool and sometimes I'm kind of surprised, but we really wanted to, bring that 80s, 70s horror movie vibe back to this.
I love that, dude. I love that.
Well, thank you. This whole movie is such a labor of love and trying to go old school with it. You know, get good actors, good effects, a good story, good characters, and make you invested in it. Even though it's 15 minutes, we want you to, if you come for the laughs, we're going to give you some laughs. If you're coming for the horror and the gore, man, we really want to give it to you.
Oh, yeah, and you did. You did. Hey, the guy was Mitch, our... thought that Chadley was at first was Elijah Wood is who I was thinking about.
Oh, the guy who actually plays is that Bilbo?
I couldn't.
Or is that the...
Dude, it's been so long, I don't remember. But, yeah, it was okay. Elijah Wood.
Yeah, Elijah, yeah. He's, and, you know, that guy does a lot of horror stuff now. He's really involved in horror movies.
Yeah.
But he's got dark hair, yeah. Chadley has blonde hair, but, yeah, they do have that similar... they do look similar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, man.
But, yeah,
exactly.
Elijah is super involved in horror movies and produces a lot of stuff. He was in the Maniac remake, which I thought was, well, that's the end of your career. You know, how many curls can you scalp before audiences just... you know, never want to see you, you know, do another mainstream movie again. But he's, you know, he's really a fan of this genre, and we're happy to have, you know, that sort of support. And, thank God for Elijah Wood and all of his cool movies.
Well, another thing I want to compliment you on is the cinematography of the movie. It doesn't look, I mean, it's 15 minutes, but it looks like it's kind of higher budget type stuff. It was shot very well. And it moves very well. Like I said, I wanted more, which I'm glad to hear you guys are looking at a full feature to go along with it. How long did you guys shoot for it to be a 15-minute film?
We shot about 6 days. And we had there's a lot of different sets that you'll see. So a couple of those days were full days. There's a couple half days. Where we had, you know, we were able to rent a bar, you know, like a real bar, and they had to open it up at 5 a.m. in the morning for us to shoot for half a day. So there's a couple half-day shots, and then there's a couple full-day shots. We tried to do as much as we could with the money that we had. Fortunately, we had a great crew, a great DP, a great director. You know, Eric has done like 40 films, and he just came into this really hot. The best thing is that you spend some time in pre-production and planning the stuff out. And so even though we didn't have a lot of money to spend, they knew exactly how they were going to get the shots. And the funny thing is that there's not really any outtakes. There's not really any B-roll. I mean, kind of like what you see in the movie, like where the scenes end, that's exactly where they end. And there's maybe one or two takes of each scene, and then that's it.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we were very lucky to get all of that so quickly.
Oh, yeah, I imagine, man. I imagine. And then, like you said, kind of being on a budget, you kind of hope everything works out the way it does for sure.
Yeah, and there were a couple times where, you know, when things did fuck up, and you have to improvise, and that's really, you know, I got to tell you, that was really interesting to see when something doesn't work, and you find that, hey, we had planned all this stuff, but for some reason it's not working. One day got rained out, so we ended up shooting some stuff indoors that we thought, well, we'll never use this, and we ended up using it. So when you're making a movie where you don't have control over things and you don't have a budget, you have to improvise on the spot. And whatever, as much as you plan, there's always going to be something that goes wrong. And that's where the real ingenuity comes from. And you go, wow, I never thought that that scene would work, and now it works better because this thing that we planned didn't go the way that we wanted to. Because when I told you that, when we had that accident with the blood, that killed like 3 or 4 hours of shooting. And we actually were not able to go back and pick up all the stuff that we missed. We just had to move on. So some stuff is shorter than we would have liked, but then it gives a really vibrant energy to the film. We can't milk anything because it's just not there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 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 for sure, man. Well, let me ask you this.
So if you get a couple seconds of blood, that's all that we got.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, I mean, it's well done, and there's enough gore to satisfy a good major horror fan like myself, for sure. Let me ask you this, London. As far as, you know, you had a career before, I guess you really started doing a bunch of acting with being a drummer with Sam Hain and the Circle Jerks, and now I guess are you still playing drums with Ritual?
No, I'm not playing in Ritual. I'm playing in a new band called Symbolism, which is not a black metal band. It's more of a punk metal hybrid death rock band with the members from Christian Death, with Rick Agnew and James McGurdy from Christian Death. And the Ritual thing kind of wound down after about a year and a half. I actually got involved with this movie, and then there was another band that I went to Europe with last year, and my schedule just, you know, I couldn't do so many things at once. Something was going to suffer, and I really wanted to put so much into this movie. And now that the movie's picking up, I'm still doing as much band stuff as possible, and it's juggling a lot of things right now. But I really, really still love going out and playing drums, and there's going to be a lot of drumming in the movie version of Brutal Realty, so I've got to keep my chops up, because I don't, you know, I don't want to bring in a ringer, you know, to play some of this crazy stuff that we have planned.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, I was going to kind of ask you how you balance your schedule between the two. Did one take priority over the other? Is acting kind of what you'd rather kind of pursue? I mean, do both, of course, but, you know, which one would take priority for you?
That's a really good question. You know, whoever, it's kind of like whoever gets me first. I love them both equally, and if I was able to get a lot of band work, you know, like a lot of touring, a lot of recording stuff, if I was booked in that, that is what I would commit to doing. Once I commit to something, that's what I commit to doing. But at this point, you know, it's kind of half and half. I think that whatever, you know, whoever gets me first and whatever sounds more exciting, you know, if I was going to do a couple weeks on a soap opera versus going on a tour with, you know, with my band, I would probably, even though the soap opera might be better money and I'd be on TV, I'd probably still do the band stuff. But making a movie about, you know, the Summoner, a heavy metal drummer, you know, that's music and movies all together, and that's the perfect role for me. And that would, Brutal Realty kind of takes precedence over everything right now because it checks so many boxes for me personally.
That's awesome, man. Well, you've got another...
And fortunately, I was going to say, fortunately, you know, the band people understand, you know.
Yeah.
My agents and Hollywood, not so much. They, you know, they always want you to go for the music thing doesn't seem to make sense to them why I would turn something down for band stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta make myself happy before I... Because in acting, you really expose yourself. You really have to be, you know, you have to be true to yourself and true to your character. And if I'm phoning something in, that's not worth it.
I hear you, man. Well, you got another movie coming out. Are you going to be, I guess you got a guest spot in Glenn Danzig's movie, Verotica. I know you and Glenn go back for your Samhain. I guess you guys play here and there, but you know, how did I guess he knew you had the acting bug and he asked you, or you'd already had some work, or how'd that happen for you?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I knew that he was working on getting a movie together probably for the last 5 or 6 years. And I always bugged him that, hey, if you ever get it together, I hope you will let me at least audition for you. I can't demand him to give me a role, but I was like, at least let me read for you. I would love to have that opportunity because I take my acting very seriously, and I wanted him to see me in another light as well. Because, you know, he knows me in just one kind of music universe. And I was like, hey, I'm really, really, really dedicated to acting, and if there's ever a chance that I can get. So I would, anytime I'd have like a little clip of something, if I've done a movie or there's a show, I would send it to him. And, you know, at one point he said, hey, this is pretty good. And he said, I think I do have a movie that's going to get made, and we'll try to get you, you know, a small part in it. And I was very flattered because he's very tough. And he doesn't just give favors based on, you know, on his buddies. You know, I knew I was going to have to work for it. And so he didn't tell me much about what to expect. He just said, show up and this is your role and maybe we'll give you a couple lines. And I did 2 days on Verotica, and it was a really cool experience. And now seeing the film and hearing about all the acclaim and how well it's done and what the big plans for it, I'm just very proud of Glenn, and I'm really excited to be part of it.
You know what would be really cool is if it got in theaters, that you could put Brutal Realty in front of Danzig's movie, Verotica.
You know, that has
be awesome.
Been discussed.
Oh, really?
That has been discussed, and not with him. I don't think it would go over with him because the movies are so wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
His is very serious and very stylized and very arty, and ours is much more visceral, cut to the chase, get in and get out. And whereas his is you know, the we have teamed up with other features. We did a double feature with a new movie called Bliss that's coming out, that is just like nonstop gore and just crazy cinematography, and it's just really high energy. And that was a good mix. And I think people are kind of looking at putting us with movies that have a similar vibe.
Gotcha.
We did get to do our premiere and Glenn's premiere at the same festival in the same weekend, and that was probably as close as it's going to get.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense too, right? It makes sense to kind of keep, if his is a lot more serious. I don't know a lot about his film, but keeping the, I guess, comedy angle out of the something a little bit more serious makes sense.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to it, and I would love the opportunity, and I would love to have that conversation with him. Even if this, the short Brutal Realty is not connected with Veronica in more than it already hit, than more than it already is, Glenn will be involved in the next stage of Brutal Realty, and I will be involved in the next stage of his movies.
Oh,
so
nice.
We are moving on to, separately but together, and I think our worlds are going to connect again with both of our careers moving on in movie making, which is an incredible thing.
Oh yeah,
I never would have dreamed, you know, that this is something that him and I would share at the same time.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, the opportunities that are available for guys now more than they were back in the day. There's a lot of guys we talk to. It's amazing. They're busier now than they were back in the heyday, you know. And a lot of guys are happier about it, you know.
Can you believe it? I mean, it's blowing my mind. When I thought I was ready for all kinds of stuff to happen and a hectic schedule, it never happened, you know. And now that, I don't know, for some reason it comes at a point where, oh, I can do all these things. I mean, it's tough. It's a nonstop hustle. But I don't know, maybe if I had gotten it when I was younger, I really would have spoiled it. I'm really, really happy to have gotten opportunities like this when I can appreciate them and take them seriously and put the effort and energy and focus. I think that's what it is. It's like when I'm older, I can focus more on stuff.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Older and wiser, my friend.
yeah, and just more responsible, too, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, when you're older and you've got most of this stuff with Glenn's movie and with my movie, it's our money. You know, we've got a lot of skin in this game. And so when you're a kid or you're younger, you're waiting around for somebody else to foot the bill. But when you're older and you want to get stuff done and you go, hey, man, I got less days ahead of me than behind me, and I want to get shit done now. I got to do it myself, and I'm going to have to pay for it. And then all of a sudden, wow, does things change.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, London, before we let you go today, is there something you'd like to tell the fans out there?
I'd like to tell the fans that, you know, as far as Sam Hain, it is such a thrill and an honor that people have kept that torch alive for us for so long. I joined Sam Hain when I was 17. I'm 52 now, and it is amazing to get to hear from the fans every day how much that music means to them. And it never gets old, and it always inspires me. And, you know, if I'm having a shitty day, somebody saying something nice about the band or how much it helped them out in a rough time, it is really an honor and a privilege. And I just want to thank everybody for caring so much about something that honestly, you know, it means a lot to us, and it's nice that it means a lot to other people. And as far as the people who are, you know, really showing up for the screenings for Brutal Realty and talking about it and spreading the word about it, man, this movie is for you. You know, it really is. It's, as I said, it's made to empower people. You know, the freaks and the fuck-ups and the dreamers. This movie is made for you, and we hope we can do more with it.
Well, London, what's the best place for people to check out Brutal Realty, Inc.?
Well, right now we're in... we're just doing film festivals with it, and that we had a couple festivals. We are not streaming this movie. You will not see this on the internet. It's only available in theaters right now, And once the festival season picks up again in the fall, we'll be traveling around with the movie and showing at festivals. You can go to BrutalRealtyFilm.com, and you'll find out about all the screenings. You can see the trailer, and you can read about it there. And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Well, London, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis Ragman Show here on TheRightToRock.com. We want to tell the fans to check out Brutal Realty, Inc. when it comes to your city or your film festival or in the future.
Thank you very much.
Hey, London, I want to throw something out there just before we go. If you need two podcasters to kill off in a movie, Genghis and Ragman are your men.
I will keep that in mind. Where are you guys located? Where are you calling from?
We're from Houston, Texas.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's awesome. Well, we'll keep that in mind. There's going to be so much carnage and blood and dead bodies everywhere in the movie. So we'll definitely need some extra cadavers. So I will definitely keep that in mind. That is very... That means a lot. I'm smiling like a maniac right now.
Yeah, you can kill off a couple fat guys. That. That's us.
Thank you. Well, horns up, Ragman. Thank you so much for chatting with me and everybody out there. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you out there on stage or on the big screen.
Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.